It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. After years of battling mental illness, Dallas County District Attorney Susan Hawk resigned today. In a letter to Texas Governor Greg Abbott, she said her health needed her undivided attention. KERA's Bill Zeeble takes a look back, starting with her historic 2014 election.
On election night, November 2014, an elated Susan Hawk thanked her supporters for helping her squeak by two-term incumbent Craig Watkins. She became the first Republican to win countywide in Dallas in a decade.
It is such an honor to be the first woman district attorney. We are going to be the best district attorney's office the nation's ever seen.
Within a few months, Hawk hired, then abruptly fired, some attorneys she'd appointed. That raised questions about her ability to manage the office. Hawk dismissed the concerns. Then, about half a year after taking office, she went absent from the job. Spokesperson Mary Woodleaf, who helped run Hawk's campaign, offered cryptic comments that Hawk later explained to KERA.
When I left at the end of July, it was a life or death situation for me. My good friend, Mary Woodleaf, is the person that I reached out to, and she was put in a really tough position. She didn't know what to do. She can't release my medical information. Do we wish it was handled differently? Absolutely, but it was a crisis situation at that time.
Hawk checked in to Houston's Menninger Clinic to be treated for depression. She returned in October 2015, invigorated and energized.
I promise you, I love this job so much. I care about this. The courthouse, the criminal justice system, I've dedicated my entire adult life to it. And if there was a second or a moment that I felt like I was not capable of doing this job, I would step down.
During her absences, her top assistant, Messina Mattson, ran the office. When Hawk was there, she secured more than $2 million for the sexual assault and family violence units. She formed a special response team to go after repeat criminals and beefed up the conviction integrity unit launched by her predecessor. It led to an exoneration. At an SMU appearance, she offered advice to law students.
You have your instincts. Trust your gut. Trust your gut. It never steers you wrong. It's probably the best advice I can give.
Despite another series of hospitalizations, Hawk hung on to the job. A legal effort to oust her, citing her absences and mental illness, failed.
There's such a stigma that's still attached to mental illness. If I had cancer, would she say the same thing? If I had diabetes, if I had been diagnosed with MS, but I was capable of working, would the same thing be said? And I think that is just, it's unfortunate.
Here's what Hawk told KERA last fall when asked if she'd do it all again.
I wouldn't change anything. As far as the only thing I regret is anyone feeling like that they were misled or lied to. That's what I would change. But running for district attorney, I was extremely successful as a judge and as a prosecutor. So I know what I'm capable of doing. And if I didn't think I could do it, I would step down.
Hawk did not grant interviews with her written announcement or say what she'll do next or why now. However, by resigning a week after the November election filing deadline, Abbott, not the voters, gets to name Hawk's replacement. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
For most Texans, the economy is booming. Plenty of jobs that pay well and a low unemployment rate. But for many working families, though, there's a monster in the closet, debt. It looks different in every house, and it gets tougher to control as each day passes. Today, KERA launches a new series called One Crisis Away, Drowning in Debt. Each Tuesday in September, you'll hear from North Texans scrambling to stay on top of their personal mountain of money owed. We begin with a single mom in Tarrant County who wrestled with growing debt for years. As Courtney Collins reports, she finally decided she was out of options and filed for bankruptcy.
The Ford family lives in a cozy two-bedroom apartment in North Richland Hills. There's 12-year-old Jemiah in her room watching SpongeBob. There's 14-year-old Jeffrey playing Grand Theft Auto on the couch. And then there's mom's design motif. April calls it inspiration.
Help me, God. You are my strength. And God, show me what you want me to do with my life today. Those are some of my favorites.
She points to the index cards posted all over the living room, the bathroom, the closets, and the kitchen. April's been a single parent since her youngest was born. She also raised two of her sister's kids and a great niece.
So it was four kids, me and a newborn. at one time.
She was living in Louisiana then, working full-time during the school year as a preschool teacher.
During the summer, we would file unemployment because I was working at a Head Start. So that's when my finances kind of really got out of hand because I would go from, like, making $2,500 a month to making $800 a month.
April kept this up for several years, falling farther behind each summer and piling up debt.
I had to get personal loans. I had to get loans from my family, from friends.
And carry a balance on her credit cards. She fell behind on her mortgage and car note, too. She jumped at a chance for a year-round job with Head Start, even though it paid $10 an hour instead of the $14 she made before.
I still never got caught up until maybe around income tax time. And by then, you owe your income tax out because you owe people plus all of the debt that you accrued during the year.
April says she thought about her finances all day, every day.
It's really overwhelming. There are a lot of times that I just cry because I don't know what else to do.
She just couldn't see a way out.
November of 2011 was when I decided that I needed to file bankruptcy because I was behind further than I thought.
And she wasn't alone. Between April and June of this year, more than 200,000 Americans filed for bankruptcy, either Chapter 7 or Chapter 13. 2,700 of them filed in the Northern District of Texas, where Barbara Hauser is chief bankruptcy judge. She explains how Chapter 7 works.
The debtor essentially turns over all of his or her assets to the Chapter 7 trustee. The debtor gets to claim certain of those assets as exempt. And if your creditors or the trustee don't object, that property goes back to you and you get to keep it.
Folks can exempt a car or their house if they continue to pay the auto loan and mortgage. Some personal property and cash can also be exempted. Everything else is sold. The profits divided among creditors. The rest of the debt, credit cards for example, is dismissed. Then there's Chapter 13, the path April Ford chose. The judge explains how that works.
The debtor has an obligation to pay all of his or her disposable income to the trustee on a monthly basis. And disposable income, generally speaking, is your aggregate household income less your reasonable monthly expenses for that household.
Which means debtors like April get to keep enough money to pay rent, take care of bills, and buy groceries. Chapter 13 plans last 3 to 5 years. Most people don't make it.
My assumption is, based on the last time I checked, that it is well under a 50% success rate.
The reason? Most debtors have almost nothing left each month after bankruptcy payments and expenses.
So unfortunately, a large number of debtors fall out of their Chapter 13 plan because something else adverse happens to them while they're in the bankruptcy case itself.
April Ford is determined not to let that happen. She's getting financial counseling through the nonprofit Family Pathfinders in Tarrant County. She's 8 months away from finishing her Chapter 13 case. April brings home $2,500 a month. Half of that goes to her trustee. Then comes rent, bills, food. By the end of the month, she's left with about $20. $20.
Even through it all, I still have more than some people. So, you know, I kind of suck it up because what else can I do?
Bankruptcy stains a credit report for 7 to 10 years. April's credit actually rebounded in the years since she filed.
When I first started, I was at a 530, my credit score. I think it's like a 680 now. So it has improved a whole lot.
April has a lot of rules for her post-bankruptcy self. When that money is freed up, she plans to pump as much as she can into savings. If she needs another car, she'll pay cash. Credit cards?
No, I won't get back in that debt no more.
Her fresh start is waiting in May of 2017, and she can't wait to take it. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
Explore more of our project at kera.org/onecrisisaway. And while you're there, check out a video of a Louisville musician stuck behind a wall of student loan debt. Mostly clear skies expected this evening, low around 76. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 94. It's currently 93 degrees in Dallas, 92 in Fort Worth and Wichita Falls, and 90 in Tyler. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.